And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, this Positive Head Podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head Podcast, it would be stellar and much appreciated if you showed us your support at positivehead.com by picking up one of our unique Positive Head bracelets. Of course, you would most certainly be helping yourself in the process because it functions as much more than just another stylish accessory. And if you haven't ever seen one, they're really cool, simple little bracelets with our Flower of Life Sacred Geometry inspired logo. They're actually made out of recycled tires and metal, so our intention is, of course, to do something positive by giving new life to previously discarded goods. And as far as their functionality goes, they act as a daily reminder to help you focus on the positive aspects of your daily life. The concept was actually inspired by studies that you can read about on our website. But besides that, many people believe just wearing something with sacred geometry is empowering in and of itself, which you can also read about on our site. And of course, as the Buddha once famously said, what you think, you become. So we believe having something on your wrist that reminds you to keep a positive head, the same way a Fitbit reminds you to keep active, makes a whole lot of sense. Of course, we charge way less than Fitbit for helping you to manage your mental health because we let you name your price for your positive head bracelet. The reason we do that is because our heartfelt intention is to spread the positivity at all costs, first and foremost. That is our primary aim. And we don't ever want money to stand in the way of somebody wearing one. So if money is super tight and you want to pay as low as our cost to get one, no problem. On the flip side, if you love our podcast and just hit the lotto and want to show us your support by paying $1 million for one, well, that won't hurt our feelings much either, I assure you. Lastly, we also recently added a unique new line of t-shirts that have what we call chemistry quotes written out on them that help to spread the positivity as well. So head over to positivehead.com, check out all our wares, pick something up to show us your support if you feel inclined to do so. Okay, then, without further ado, let's dive into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. Hello, Vivian. How are you, sir? What's happening?
You hit record already, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to jump right in, Dalian.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's
the
true.
The element of surprise.
Yeah, you're right. Don't think about it. Just do it. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Jump in.
What's going on, Dalian? What's going on? What's going on? What's new? What's exciting?
Let's see. What
Come
is
on,
going
stimulate
on?
Stimulate me. Stimulate me.
Everything,
hit me.
Everything. Everything.
All right, guys. We drank way too much coffee this morning.
Yeah, apparently.
I knew I shouldn't have bought that bigger pot of coffee, you know?
Oh, yeah. We're flipping out here.
Puts out too much.
I'm on a caffeine-induced something.
Not the healthiest Rent. Choice, but, you know. Actually, I think a little bit of coffee is... They can be good, you know. I put stuff in mine to like MCT oil and turmeric and so forth to try and make it a little healthier and try not to drink too much of it. But yeah, I think like anything, moderation. There's certainly some. I saw something not too long ago saying that that's how people coffee was the number one source of that in the country, in the U.S. anyway, of how people get their antioxidants.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You employ me on this podcast mostly because I'm a source of useless facts.
Right, that's the only reason you're here. And if you can't answer those questions, I don't know what... I don't know, man.
I also know how to work the audio editing program.
That's true. That's true.
The other thing.
That is true.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's... I had no idea about that, actually. That's a very interesting fact that you just threw out. I also agree with you fully that all things in moderation. That's my philosophy.
Yep.
All things in moderation. Balance. Really, even a little bit of the things that we consider... typically bad, I will say. I mean, for
well,
example,
yeah, because it gets into if it makes you feel good, then is it bad? You know, and that's where you have to find the balance. If it's something that's maybe releasing stress or, you know, making you feel good, is that outweighing any of the? Because there's a cost to everything, right? There's pros and cons to everything. So
yeah,
it's really, you have to like listen to your own intuition to find out where that balance is. Because you can read a pro and con to any almost anything, whatever it is. So I feel like at the end of the day, the guidance system that we were born with, our own intuition, is the best possible. Because what, and also we're different, we're unique, so what might maybe right for me may not be right for you and your system. So it's I think people listening less to external stimuli, maybe like just checking it out, hearing the sort of the cases that are made and the strength of those cases, but then in the end relying on your own intuition. And I think, you know, you'll find the more you do that, the more you'll see that your body will tell you. You'll instantly have like sort of an indicator of what's good or not.
That's very well said, Brandon. And it's actually almost like the answer to a question that someone may be wondering right now that they just haven't asked yet. But I gotta think that someone out there, perhaps listening right now, has wondered. I'm sure many people have, because this seems to come up fairly regularly. There's just so much information out there about what's good for you, what's bad for you, right? And especially now, it seems like we're at an all-time peak of contradictory information. You're going to hear that this is good for you, and tomorrow you're going to hear that it's bad. When it comes to diet and the things we consume, I think we have gotten to a point where there's just a lot of contradictory information.
Yeah, it gets confusing and overwhelming. And like, you know, and I think, once again, take in what you can, and then look within for the answers. And this goes for anything, you know. Once you quiet your mind and look within, you build that muscle, that intuitive muscle, and it is the best guidance system there is.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of a reminder, quick reminder of that, just on your most recent interview episode, Brandon, the one we just released with Alexander Hain.
Because he
mentions at one point, he says, I've had 300-pound vegans come up to me, and I've had incredibly skinny people who were meat eaters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, I tend to agree really with you that there's just so much evidence that consumption, especially unchecked consumption of red meat, there's just not good things that are going to come out of that. I think there's a lot of evidence showing that.
Yeah, of course, there's some things that have more compelling evidence than others. Like, can you find someone out there who's saying cigarettes, Marlboros are good for you?
Right.
Probably you could, but a lot less likely than the amount of people who would say fish is good for you.
Right? Exactly.
So
yes. Yeah. Because cigarettes is the thing that where I kind of started on that whole thing, because I have smoked a pack a day years ago. I've worked my way up to that sort of height of addiction to nicotine, but I brought it back down to where now I'm smoking a cigarette a day, if that.
Yeah.
And to me, that feels very much more like the place where I want to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Dalian, we were blessed with a few more reviews on iTunes. And, you know, as always, I ask you guys, if you're enjoying the show, to take a moment to give us a rating or review on iTunes. It helps us to, you know, get more exposure and so forth. And iTunes being the sort of holy grail of all things podcasting, it's very much appreciated, and it certainly helps to fuel Dalian and I's efforts here to get feedback from you guys. We absolutely love getting your feedback, so thank you to this is Glowing One. Wrote a review titled it Mind Opening, and they said, there have been so many great and inspiring stories and conversations from this podcast. It's definitely one of my favorites. Never preachy, which is awesome. Not boring or one-sided. You can hear a little about everything here, but with the overall feeling of positivity. I love it. It's changing my life and giving me great things to reflect about. Thank you, Brandon and Dalian. Man, Dalian, you know, it's so humbling to hear it's changing my life. Anytime I hear that feedback, and we've been hearing it more and more, it's like, I just feel so honored to be doing what I'm doing. And it just goes back to, you know, I've done a lot of cool stuff in my life. I've had the such an amazing, adventurous, cool life. And this is that's probably the most rewarding thing that I can ever hear. So thank you so much for completing the circle of love and sort of feeding back the love that we're putting out to the world, because it is coming from such a pure intention. And to get that feedback from you guys just means the world. So thank you so much, Glowing One, for that review, that glowing review. We have another review, B-Runner, and they put titled it Positive Intentions. And they said, finding this podcast has greatly helped me to include a much more hopeful and informed outlook on life. I'm very thankful to Brandon and Dalian for their open hearts and minds. Oh, well, thank you, B-Runner. We are very thankful for your open heart and mind to tune in and even take the time to send the love back our way. It means a lot. So, yeah, guys, don't be shy. Give us a review if you feel like it. If not, that's okay, too. We still love you. What do you got, Dalian, in way of a mysterious story of the day? I knew it was mysterious, so I wanted to give you the sound effect there.
Yeah, we're getting back into more mysterious territory again. Because, yeah, it's fun to bring you stories of feel-good things that people are doing out in the world. And then once in a while, it's fun to just talk about a good old-fashioned mystery.
Weirdness.
Yes. So, yeah, this story is about a man who accidentally discovered what you could consider a very advanced technology. It appears almost like a UFO-like technology. That's the way that the article refers to it, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
It's an article from mysteriousuniverse.org, and it is the tale of Eugene Podkletnov. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that last name right, but Eugene was a engineer. And he was born in Russia, immigrated to Finland, and he ended up working at the, he had worked to receive his master's degree at the University of Chemical Technology at Russia's prestigious 130-year-old Mendeleev Institute in Moscow. And then he went on to spend over a decade at the Institute for High Temperatures within the Russian Academy of Sciences. So anyway, he was a very talented engineer, but no nuclear physicist. And he happened to sort of accidentally observe while working around a superconductor in the early 90s, some very strange properties. Superconductors, as you know, are materials that offer very little resistance to electrical charge.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, they're very desirable, you know, for industrial applications, et cetera, right? So anyway, that he and some of the other staff at this facility noticed that they could produce an effect that is essentially seemed to cancel out gravity. Not altogether. It would cancel something like 2 or 3% of an object's mass, but they could measure it and observe this result. And the thing that was remarkable is that it was consistent, predictable, and unlike anything that's been seen really before or since, because it seemed to be almost a complete cancellation of part of the object's mass, so it would just lose weight and, you know, become somehow, you know,
weightless,
defy gravity.
Or more weightless.
Yeah, so I'll read you a quick quote here from the article. Journalist Charles Platt wrote of the incident, I guess the first occurrence, accidental occurrence of this whole thing. So this gentleman wrote about it in a Wired feature back in 1996, saying that small objects above the disk seemed to lose weight as if they were being shielded from the pull of planet Earth. The weight reduction was small, around 2%, but nothing like this had ever been observed before. One of the things that they say in the article that could be perhaps not the cause, but a mediating force, is that when they inserted metallic discs in between the superconductor plate and the object that's like sort of mag levitating above it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, if you introduce a metallic object that can change the magnetic current, and then spinning it was the sort of corollary to that whole thing. When they spin this metallic disc, it, I guess, creates a sort of magnetic field or effect that cancels out gravity. Mm-hmm. So that's where the whole UFO-like technology comes in, because it's speculated that this is how we could, if we figure out a way to sort of, you know, exploit this technology to the max, we're going to eventually produce anti-gravity, which we already have a form of that, right? Magnetic levitation, and it gets into that. You know, that's part of what goes into the science of this whole thing, right?
Cool.
But yeah,
It's really pretty fascinating because the article goes into more detail, of course, but it's an effect that we don't understand very well, of course, that's related to magnetic fields and some sort of metallic disc spinning, right?
Yeah.
But the net effect is that it produces some sort of, you know, gravity cancellation effect.
Interesting.
And that's
how the UFOs are getting around.
And that's how we're going to get hoverboards again.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. Cool story. Let's see. Moving along. We received a question from someone. And the other thing that I often petition for to you, the wonderful Positive Headians out there listening, is to write in questions, comments. We love interacting with you guys, and we've had some good ones lately, and so please keep them coming. If you haven't written us yet, go to positivehead.com, you know, write us through the site, or my email's brandon@positivehead.com, and you can write a question there, or even leave a voicemail. There's a phone number on the podcast page of our website. But this question came from Aiden, and Aiden said, I struggle with black and white thinking and emotional regulation. And then he put personality disordered in parentheses. So you can imagine how difficult it can be some days, moments, to maintain a positive vibrational state. My question is this: how do you stay positive amid so much perceived negativity that convinces you it's the only truth? I know my rational mind disagrees, but my emotional mind just can't seem to grasp that concept. I'm all for not letting psychological baggage pile up, but I feel that letting it out is just fueling more negativity in my overreactivity. It's difficult for me to pick my battles, as my personal boundaries have been stepped over one too many times, and I feel if I don't notice minor annoyances, it will be a slippery slope back to where I would take people's crap, and all the building myself up will be ultimately in vain. So this makes me think of one of my favorite quotes by, I think it's Krishnamurti, and he says, you want to know what my secret is? You see, I don't mind what happens. And you can hear that, Aiden, you know, you care a lot what happens. You're really, you're taking it so personally. And when you can start to understand that nothing is personal, these battles that you're engaging in or calling in, you're it's a vibrational, you know, match in some way, shape, or form. And instantly what jumps out at me is how much you mind what happens and the fact that you're taking it personally. People's crap. Yeah, it's their crap. It's not your crap. You don't need to take it on. You don't need to take it personally. You need to, if you don't like it, give it no attention. Just, have you tried ignoring it? You know, stop caring and ignoring it. That would be my recommendation. Just a very quick, you know, very off the cuff reaction. Dalian, what do you think?
I happened to see this email of Aiden's when it came through, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I needed to write a blog for the site, so I happened to sort of take that as my opportunity, and I went ahead and wrote a blog.
Yeah.
So I just released it, and I emailed Aiden back. I was like, oh, you know, maybe this blog will sort of give you an insight into that. But it's been like a week since that, and so now that I saw the question again, it made me think of something else. I noticed something that he said where he's talking about, you know, I struggle with sort of figuring out how much to let out, or in terms of emotional energy, how much I express and how, you know, how much of that is energizing things. And you alluded to that just a second ago, because it's true. If you sort of bottle up all your emotions, I think that everyone seems to agree now that that's not a good idea, to just repress everything and keep it inside. Right.
Right.
On the other hand, there can be, I suppose, such a thing as indiscriminate, just letting everything out. Right. And just constantly sort of venting, or constantly never having enough discipline to really, you know, stop yourself from doing that.
Right.
And what could the possible benefit of doing the opposite of, you know, keeping everything in is, or what benefit could there be to regulating that? And it's that if you allow other people and your own emotions to sort of run with you, then they can do that all day long,
yeah,
all day,
every day. It's a perspective thing. He's choosing to see it from a way that causes him pain, you know, so it's perspective. And, you know, you can see here there's some strong ideas about perspective. You know, I struggle with black and white thinking and emotional regulation, personality disordered. Like, here's a story, Aiden, that you're telling about yourself. What does that even mean? I you know... to you, it obviously means a lot. You even assume I know what it means. It's like, I don't know that your personality is disordered. Who told you that? Some guy in, you know, who is not in tune with his anything about, you know, the ultimate nature of reality. And he's, you know, studied a book and is trying to sell you pharmaceuticals, probably. I don't know. I don't know where you got that. But and I'm not trying to discredit it or discount it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insult or anything like that. But it, I guess I just get passionate because it's like, you know, these stories that are told and that we tell ourselves then define and create who we are. You know, to have emotion is not, I don't think, somehow a problem or dysfunction. I think the more sensitive you are, the more emotional you are, even, and it can be, you know, make you more sensitive to this stuff. So if you struggle with black and white thinking, why not try using that, you know, that story to your advantage and say, okay, black and white thinking, very black and white. If I realize that nothing is personal and I take Krishnamurti's of black and white, you know, idea of, you know what, here's my whole model for existence. I don't mind what happens and it's not personal. Apply those, that black and white simple concept to every situation you encounter and then see how you feel. It's going to be hard to have these horrible, you know, disagreements and conflicts within you that bottle up and you got to find a way to let it out and you don't know if you should let it out and is that bad, and because you're going to sort of like cut them off, you know, at the knees. There's not going to be any power in it. But if you take that black and white perspective on your life.
I think we're hinting at all of this, but it seems that once again, black and white thinking is already telling you, yeah, that's extremely reactive and extreme because nothing in life is black and white. If you want to, you know, use that image, black and white, mm-hmm. That's a sort of extreme abstraction and oversimplification or generalization of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to really, you know, they say, you know, some people see things in black and white. Well, that's, again, it's an abstraction. It's a figure of speech. You can't ever do that.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as black and white. So if you think, what is black and white thinking? It's extreme thinking. It's sort of extremely emotional thinking, and it's unregulated, undisciplined thinking, mm-hmm. right? Where you swing from one extreme to the other. Everything's either wonderful or awful. But again, that's just...
Find the beauty of gray.
And it's there because life is like that.
And I just changed the song that I had queued up to play. One of a favorite album from my teenage years, Live Mental Jewelry, The Beauty of Gray. So that's a little foreshadowing. I just decided on the spot that I'm changing the song that is queued up for today to that. So anyway, let's... some great feedback, Dalen. Thank you. What I want to do now, because we're getting up there in time, is I want to play a short clip from Eckhart Tolle talking about this topic, because he has a great tip in there. It's Solution to Negative Thought and Feeling by Eckhart Tolle. I found this on the Journey Within YouTube page. Let's take a listen. Let's take a listen to Eckhart Tolle.
This person asks, after many years of meditation and all the twists and turns of life, I'm now in the grip of intense fear and anxiety. It seems it was always there, only more intense now. Sitting with it, letting it be there, seems to make it grow. Well, fear, anxiety, which is a form of fear, very common. Some people have it, many have it in the background continuously. And I would say there's some degree of fear, even if you're not conscious of it, if you're totally identified with the egoic mind, you will have fear, if only in the background, and it may come out in other forms. It can express itself as anger. If you look at anger closely, you usually find hidden underneath the anger is a state of fear. So if there's fear, one important thing is to, of course, you need to direct your attention to it. You acknowledge that there's fear. The important question that arises is, are there any thought processes connected with the fear? In other words, what are the thoughts that your mind is producing while you're feeling the fear? Is it possible that certain thoughts that you think frequently or habitually produce the fear? Is it possible you project yourself into the next moment, into the future moment, excessively trying to control something that you have no control over? What's going to happen to me? Or project, or creating an imaginary scenario of loss that you might yet you might suffer. It's not happening now, but it might happen. And many things that the thought activity, excessive thought activity, often creates scenarios of things going wrong that are not happening now, may never happen, often probably will never happen. And even if they did happen, the actual situation would actually be easier to face than the imaginary situation in your mind, because there's nothing you can do, there's no action you can take to remedy an imaginary situation except to stop thinking it. But if an actual situation arises, you face it and you give it your attention, and then you take the action that you need to take. But an imaginary situation, you're totally at the mercy of it. So it only exists in your mind. So you need to see whether your mind is creating the fear by thinking fearful thoughts, by projecting itself into the future. And if that is the case, then you can see, oh, so I'm creating those because my body cannot tell the difference between an actual event that's happening outside and what my mind is producing. So when I'm thinking thought, my life situation is critical, if this is the basically what your thoughts are telling you, then your body believes that this is the actual truth, that you are being threatened at this very moment. The body doesn't know the difference, that the tiger isn't in the room. The threatening presence is your thoughts. The body reacts in the same way, whether there's a threat, an actual threat in the room, or your thoughts can create the same, even palpitations. You can be shortness of breath because you're thinking fearful thoughts. You go at night. I had that for years. When awful state. It's insane. It's a disease, but nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing. There's a quiet room. Nothing. It's all happening in the mind. So if that's the case, see, okay, then you need to tackle the thoughts because they will cause the fear. And how do you tackle thoughts? It's by realizing the futility and the destructive nature of these thoughts and choosing to step out. And what do you do to step out? First, you don't believe your mind that tells you, no, you can't step out, you have to continue thinking. No, you step out and take a conscious breath, or put your attention into the inner energy field of the body. A conscious choice to remove attention from thinking. And you may have to be really alert to do it. If you're immersed in a mind stream, it could even be that it's so powerful that you just cannot get out. It has such gravitational pull, it pulls you. But at least you know that this is what's happening. So you there's a state where you cannot help yourself yet, but at least there is the beginning of a disidentification from it when you know that this is what is happening. So there's at least a part of you that knows this is not totally real. This is the fears being produced by my mind. Or those early stages, you may not yet be able to step out of it. It may be so strong that you're still totally in the grip of it, but at least you know that you're in the grip of it. The worst thing is to be in the grip of it and not even knowing it, because you're so identified with it, it is absolutely real to you. So even to know that this is happening is already a step forward. And then perhaps after a while the energy exhausts itself a little bit of this, and then you can begin to say, okay, you will step out of thought, that those fearful thoughts, because they are creating suffering. And you take a conscious breath, and another, and then begin to feel the inner energy field of the body. Ah, ah. whoa, it's like this huge burden is suddenly dropped away. And then you look around. This is a form of awakening out of complete identification with thinking. It is really is an awakening, and you can observe it in yourself, and you go, oh, so nice. It's like a nightmare. You maybe everybody has experienced awakening from a nightmare and feeling such relief that you're in bed and it's safe. You go, and the same thing when you step out of fearful thought and become present. Ah. And then see, thought will then try to pull your attention back in. It can go, come this way. And then you might one little thought comes. Do you follow it or don't you follow it? If you follow it, it's just this. Oh.
So yeah, you know, as always, he's really always got some great insight, and I love his quirkiness. He's so cool. So yeah, of course, he talks about anger and fear, and of course, imaginary scenarios where we see them as worse than they really are. And I think that's an interesting thing. You know, your body can't tell the difference between thoughts and real scenarios. So, you know, and it's even worse, thoughts versus real scenarios, because at least the real scenario you can actually deal with. The thought about a bad scenario is just you can't even do anything about it unless you stop believing your mind. And if you realize the futility of negative thoughts and see it happening, you're starting to step out. And that's sort of, he says, see this as a form of awakening. So I think that the main reason I wanted to share this clip, though, is, you know, it gives a technique. And I think a good technique that maybe Aiden and anyone else out there can employ. And that's remove attention from thinking and put attention on energy within the body. When you're getting into these states and you're not having trouble with Krishnamurti's perspective, understandably so. You've been trained a whole nother way your whole life, and it will be two steps forward, one step back, adopting, you know, these new perspectives that I'm kind of suggesting, but certainly is for me. But in the meantime, when you get into these states, remove attention from thinking and put attention on energy within the body. Try that. There's a great, great technique. Reaching for neutral thoughts is the other thing that he has talked about before. So Eckhart Tolle delivers as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those techniques are absolutely very helpful. In particular, the one you highlighted is one that has helped me tremendously. And if you believe your mind, then you're going to be blowing some things out of proportion. And that's what I think bringing your attention back into the body will do, is that it will show you how you're doing that. Because your body, as Eckhart indicates, and this is something that we got to be careful with, we got to pay attention to the fact that the body won't know the difference.
Yeah,
it will respond to your thoughts equally. So if you're thinking, okay, I'm being chased by a tiger, the tiger is almost upon me, I'm in actual danger right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think, oh my God, I may lose my job, my company's downsizing, and I may, as a consequence of that, lose all these other things.
Yeah.
Right? What are you doing there? You're fearfully projecting into a future that doesn't exist.
Yep.
You're not in actual danger.
Yep.
And your body's going to react the exact same way.
And not only does your body, on a cellular level, and this is something, you know, in forthcoming interview with Bruce Lipton, we didn't get into it because we went into so many other things, but he talks a lot about that in his book, Biology of Belief. When you're in that fearful state mentally, you instantly, it changes your whole physiology. All of the resources are going to your external limbs and so forth to protect you against this supposed threat. And now your organs aren't being like nurtured. And, you know, so it's like when you're constantly in that stressed out state, you're organs and are suffering essentially. So it's really interesting. I highly recommend checking out that book to everyone. But
yeah. A little preview of the upcoming interview. Huh? That's coming up in a week.
He's brilliant. Yep. Coming up soon. So, well, Dalian, we're getting down to it for today. I would like to, on a dime, change the song that we're going to play. And that is going to be Live, Beauty of Gray. And before we check out the musical tastings for today, I would like to add This podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I. So if you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because, well, because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.
Was your brother, we could reminisce, then you would go about your day. If I said you ought to give him some of your water, you'd shake your canteen and walk away. The perception that divides you from him is a lie. For some reason you never ask why. This is not a black and white world. You can't afford to believe in your side. This is not a black and white world to be alive. I say the colors must swirl, and I believe that maybe today we will all get to appreciate the beauty of grace. If I told you she was your mother, we could analyze the situation and be gone. If I said you ought to give her some of your water, your eyes would light up like the dawn. The perception that divides you from her is a lie. For some reason you never ask why. This is not a black and white world. You can't afford to believe in your side. It's not a black and white world to be alive. I say the colors must swirl.